Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and it's great to have you with us and to have our guests, whoever they may be, throughout the weeks, months, and years as we move through. Today is going to be a lot of fun, I think, because I have someone with me on the phones who has the same name as me. It's kind of fun. And his last name represents a particular area of the world that I want to live. Not exactly London, England, but it's close enough to Ireland that I'll take it. Dr. Richard London, he is with the London Companies, and he has served as the CEO, Chief Educational Officer. I like that. CVO, CMO, and VMBC. Love all these letters. Of several companies, as well as being a business consultant for over 25 years, creating basically his clients include all kinds of media entertainment personalities, industry leaders, as well as corporate leaders. And I mean, this just goes on and on. And Dr. Richard London, world-renowned author and business consultant, tells us what our future really looks like. And to quote him, there is so much uncertainty in our world today, and people know it, know that the tools of the past are no longer working for them. Boy, I can attest to that. And Dr. Richard London, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm excited to be on your program, and I love that you love animals. I have lots and lots of animals.
Well, we used to have a whole flock of chickens that we would get eggs from, and I got to tell you something. And we had a peahen, too, and I did not know she was going to start laying eggs when she started eating the feed that we were giving to the hens. And we started getting huge eggs from her, and oh my gosh, they were good. But we love animals, including we had wild turkeys on the property. I'll have to post those pictures up there. They're gone now. We suspect, sadly, where they may have gone. But we've had skunks and a snake or two here and there. We've heard of coyotes in the hills around us. Yeah, it's a wonderful life, and they are great lesson teachers for us as well. So
oh, yeah.
I'm with you on that 100%. Now, you have been involved with assisting individuals as well as companies in trying to understand and get in touch with what makes a person, a company successful, and it's not the same in the 21st century as it was in the 20th century. I mean, things have really shifted and changed and this year in particular, 2014, I hear from almost every corner as I interview that people, though they're not looking at a specific moment in this year, it's a feeling of utter optimism, and they don't always know where it's coming from. What about you?
Well, you know, we're talking in March, and so March is now, March 2014 is what I call a miracle month. So all you listeners out there, you have the opportunity of creating miracles in the month of March, in March 2014, because there's an energy shift. It's what, you know, people in astrology calling Pisces energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than that. If you want to be practical and logical, and I'm very practical and logical, is that we all come to this earth with this big, giant treasure chest. And it's all of our ideas, it's all of our thoughts, and it's all of our creations. But these ideas and these creations and all that wealth that you could have created sits there in a treasure chest, and it never becomes real because humans do not learn in their lifetime how to bring that energy over into this real world and make it real for them so they can experience that wealth. So life is really about three things: language, energy, and movement.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you first about language, because in conversations that I've had with people, it is our language that seems to not only get us into trouble, but get in our way, because when we try to share our experiences, the things that are important to us, the words actually really do pale by comparison to the images in our mind. And if we could just plug our brain into someone else's and just share the image, boy, they would have it. I mean, in full Technicolor, if you will, and Dolby 5.1 sound.
I agree. See, every word has a certain energy vibration. So let's look at a common word that is spoken probably billions of times per day.
Okay.
The word money.
Money.
The word money actually vibrates very, very low. So if I sat in my office or you sat in your office all day and you go, I want money, I want money, I want money, I want money, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. Is because the energy behind a specific word is not powerful enough to make it a reality in your life. So then you have words like abundance and wealth.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tremendous amount of energy attached to them. So where are the three most important words that your listeners need to know in their life today? Yes. Yes is positive energy. No is negative energy. And then there's another word that very few people know in the world, and it's yes, I know. And yes, I know is divine energy. So there are three energies that exist in the world, yes, no, and yes, I know. And the most powerful is the yes, I know. So you can take that energy and push it forward with your choice of words. Like I've trained myself in my lifetime, is every word that comes out of my mouth goes through my heart. And I'll explain something to your listeners, because listeners out there, since I'm talking about March and I'm talking about, you know, making miracles in the month of March 2014, is that the heart is capable of producing 5,000 times more electromagnetic energy than the brain. So, Richard, when you're producing electromagnetic energy, what does electromagnetic energy produce? Atoms.
Okay.
What is Richard and Angus, your dog, made out of, and myself? We're all made out of atoms.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process of language, by pushing these very powerful yes, I know words through your heart-centered intelligence, you're producing electromagnetic energy. And guess what you're creating? Miracles.
Yeah. Now, yes. imagine. The key is moving into your own divinity. So
yes.
It starts with thought, and that the image in your mind that I was sharing again, it's like if I could just get you to see the thing I'm trying to verbalize, then I wouldn't have to verbalize it. We need to develop telepathy. It's what we need to do. But until that day comes, the words that we choose are extremely important. Now, when you use the phrase, I want money, and the reason you don't get it is because the phrase is not precise. Because the word I want is what the universe hears, not the money
right.
part. Or don't want debt, the universe hears I don't want.
Well, it actually, the word money does not vibrate, and so the universe doesn't return in kind.
Okay.
But you're exactly correct. See, when you're telling the universe you want anything, that means you don't have it.
Exactly.
So the way that the world works is that you get more of what the universe believes you have. So let's take Jay Leno. He collects cars and he collects motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
So the universe always gives him enough money so he can buy his next car or his next motorcycle, because he's passionate about that. And that's where the universe believes he is. So let me give you a working example. When I was 4 years old, I grew up in a very poor family. And so money was not in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, it looks like I'm going to struggle in eating, and I don't want to struggle. So I started using the law of attraction. So I would create a dime, a nickel, a quarter, then 50 cents. And then a dollar bill, and then a $5 bill. And then I would find envelopes filled with $200, $300, $400, $500. And this happened regularly every week, every month, for years and years. So how was I able to create it? Once I got the system rolling and the universe knowing that it was okay to, because that's where I was, it kept on giving me more and more. Yes. And that's how really the law of attraction works, is that wherever the universe believes you are, you just get more. So that's where language comes in, is that if a person lives in a box in any major city in the world, let's take Los Angeles, the person may be able to create some hot soup some days, a blanket, maybe a hot plate. But the only way the person's going to move out of the box is for God, the universe, or the divinity inside of that person to know that's not where the person really is. That's only an illusion that has been created in a temporary space in this particular person's life. So you take them to, you pick the person up and you take them to a place like the Goodwill and you buy them clothes and you dress them up, you get them a haircut, and you start changing their image, then the universe starts seeing a different energy emanating from that person, and then the universe responds in another manner. See, the ultimate level that humans want to reach, and I talk about it a lot, it's called becoming a spiritual warrior. Very few people, even Socrates and Aristotle and all the people that we as humans read about as children and as adults, these people never reached the I am stage. Mm. So the ultimate spiritual warrior stage is I am wealth, I am peace, I am love, I am. So when you are wealth, that's all you receive is wealth. When you're peace, you receive peace. So if you really exist in a world like I do, I am love all the time. So I receive love from everybody around me every single day of my life. So how does one reach that particular level? In the world we live in, humans buy cars, they buy houses, and they think of their life based on what someone told them. I have to go to high school. Then I go to college, then I buy a car, then I get a job, then I get married, then I buy a house, and people are taught that they have to go through a procedure or pattern, mm-hmm. and they don't. Mm. See, everything in the past is in stone. Everything in the future is in paper. So we as humans get to design our lives. So what I teach people is, you're a millionaire, and you're only 18 years old, and you're just graduating from high school. You're a millionaire, so you can make choices as a millionaire what you want to do. Do you want to go to college? Do you want to go to technical school? Do you want to go in your own business? But people are not taught that. In my center, I had a large center for more than 15 years, and I had people who were just blue-collar people. They were photographers, plumbers, carpenters. And I taught them how to create in their life using language, energy, and movement. And all of them have successful relationships. Their children are never on drugs. They're making $150,000, $300,000, $500,000 a year. They're making as much, if not more, than any Ivy League graduate. So what was the common denominator that changed the people's lives? And it was partly what you said about they found the divinity inside of them. But also, too, is all humans that exist on this earth have negative imprinted memory. And this negative imprinted memory is in people's souls. So that negative imprinted memory has to be removed. Otherwise, people are just going to repeat various things that they've picked up in this life, and if you believe in reincarnation, and many, many lives. And see, that's what makes the world different, is that if you do believe in reincarnation, and everybody's souls that exists on Earth, every negative piece of energy, imprinted memory, is in everyone's soul from not just this lifetime, but every lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what humans are not taught is the greatest thing that they should invest is in themselves. They need to put time, money, energies, and having a great mentor. And what makes a great mentor in the world today? I mean, you have literally millions of mentors. It's great wisdom, not knowledge, but great wisdom. But also, we live in a world where there's a lot of divine connection. So your parents, my parents, their lives in the 50s and the 60s and the 40s, there was very little divine connection. Now, in 2014, there's a lot of divine connection. So if you're fortunate enough to have a mentor who is connected, so what advantage is there to be connected? Okay, it's the movement of energies. And let's look at logic. Okay, for thousands of years, people say, oh, when I die, maybe I can become an angel. You've heard that expression before.
Mm-hmm.
Or people say, I have angels that guide me. Well, we live in a world now in the 21st century where you could actually build your vibrational energy equal to an angel, equal to an archangel, equal to an ascended master, and you don't have to die.
Mm.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And the reason people have not been able to do it in the past is because there was always a separation. People used alchemy in order to gain power in this world. Literally, thousands of people used alchemy, trying to mix something in order to gain a lot of power, because they never realized that the power maker was in the heart, and it's in heart-centered intelligence. So we live in a world where you could produce so much electromagnetic energy, you could increase your vibration at the same level as an angel. So what does that mean? Is when you're connected to that world, you can move a lot of energy.
Okay.
And let me give you an example, a practical example. 93% of all the major projects started by the biggest companies in the world, like IBM, KPMG, and you name it, they're all failures in the world today. So why are they failures and only 7% successful? It's because the person at the top may have this big vision, but the problem is that the second person, say there are 1,000 people on the project, every person from the second to the 1,000, they're all blocking it.
Now, my thought when Steve Jobs passed was that
right.
I saw the decline of Apple because the one man who had the vision was Steve Jobs, and that
right.
everyone else had different visions. And it wasn't, and this was not, I wasn't projecting this as, I hope that Apple collapses. No. It was an observation that I knew that this was what was going to happen until somebody stepped up with either Steve's vision or a new vision that would lift the company. But this goes back to, again, language, the very first element you mentioned at the beginning of this interview. It's very difficult sometimes to transmit that vision to others unless you're able to, I guess, really articulate it in such a way that they catch that vision. This was talked about even back in the 80s, early 90s when I was working for the religious radio station. And we talked about this, not on the air, but this was in terms of the business, running the radio station, in terms of catching the vision of say, ownership or management or whoever it was.
Well, I'll explain to you how we can counteract that this process in the world.
Okay.
Inside of every human being, you have an energy tank.
Okay.
And the majority of people in the world, their energy tank is 50% or more empty, not full. And so they don't realize when you have an energy tank, say a man and a woman are going to have a discussion, and one person is 40% empty, rather 60% empty, and the other person is 70% empty. In any conversation that they have, when they're in that state, nothing positive is going to happen because it can't. The energy inside of them is not going to allow either one of them to come to any positive conclusion. So if humans are aware of their own energy tank and they can shift it, and you can shift it as easily as by going, yes, I know, and that shifts the energy to divine energy, and then you can shift your energy tank. Mm-hmm. My wife and I are 100% and overflowing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we're always able to accomplish things in discussions at a high level and move forward. But you can't move forward. And I'll give your listeners a practical example. If you were gambling in roulette and you were playing black or red, that means you have a 50% chance of winning because you're playing two colors.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with life. If your energy tank is less than 50% filled, you have a small possibility of moving to where you want to be. So really the key in the world today is really being cognizant where your energy tank is
mm-hmm.
at all times of your life and being able to look at other people's energy tank. And so I'm going to give your listeners a challenge. I want them at their home, at their work, in their life, to look at people and start assessing their energy tank and then assessing your own energy tank. And guess what happens? Intuitively, the human starts to be aware of other people's energy tank and then their own energy tank.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the keys in being successful in the world today is you have to have an energy tank that's at least 70% or more filled, not empty.
Mm-hmm.
And why are people's energy tank empty? The reason is because all the issues that they've had in this lifetime are coming through all at once. So they could have abandonment issues, love issues, integrity issues. Those are the three major life lessons that humans come to this earth with. So again, it's love issues, it's integrity issues, and it's abandonment issues. So these three life lessons cause the energy tank in a human being to be very low. Here's something really interesting is I watched the Academy Awards yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I wanted to see if 6,000 people who are very ego, media-based people could, members of the Academy, could make the right decisions this year and who is to win an Academy Award. And in every case, in the year 2014, and in the month of March, they made the right decision.
Really?
Every person who won the Academy Award was based on energy and feelings. Yes. One woman, her name is Lupita Nyong'o. She played in the movie 12 Years a Slave. It was the first time she had ever acted in her life, and she won an Academy Award for Supporting Actress. Now, did she deserve it? Yes. The acting was brilliant, and the energy of the movie and the lesson which the movie teaches is phenomenal. So 6,000 people or more who voted in this Academy election voted well. And so that really showed me that we are living in a world where people are changing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is happening. I'm going to have on my program in a not too distant future here Brent Merchant, who is a conscious creative film reviewer, and it's just fascinating. He's coming out with a new book, and we're going to talk about that. But how the films that are coming out, and he lists them over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, and I've even said, well, we need to do a little project as far as, say, the Oscars. Over the years, say, let's just use the last 10 years, how many of the films that have won Best Picture or Actor or so on and so forth were in that area that you focus on of consciously creative films in terms of raising, helping to raise the consciousness of people? I have to say that there are some programs, and I no longer subscribe to the services, the television services that most people do, like Cox or Direct or Dish or what have you. We now focus primarily on Netflix, Hulu, and so forth. And we have seen things that we would have never seen had we not dropped that service. Now, we also didn't see the Academy Awards because we don't have a service to do that with. And that was okay. Because I know who won Best Picture, an actor, an actress, and so forth. I didn't have to see the show to know these things. But one of the things it's so fascinated me about some of the things that we've seen is how many people haven't seen these things. There was a series that we watched on, and it was a drama, but it was only a 5-part series. It didn't call itself a miniseries. It was a television show. It was from the UK. It was put out by the BBC. And the program was called One Night. And what it did was, in these 5 episodes, focused on specific individuals, one individual in each episode, who was involved in a specific event that took place one night. And it was fascinating how they wove this together, showed the interconnectedness that we have. So I would encourage people to, I'm not saying give up your service. You don't have to do that. But look into some of the things that are out there that you aren't even aware of. And you can do it on your computer. You don't have to drop your service. You can go there and search out these different things. It's just fascinating. To have my eyes open to some new things. And that's what we try to do on this program, bringing new paradigms for a new world. And we're going to come back with Dr. Richard London, and we're going to talk more about all of this. This, to me, is exciting stuff. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I'm here with Dr. Richard London, and we are talking some awesome stuff. The website, by the way, for Dr. London is drrichardlondon.com. That's drrichardlondon, London.com. And we encourage you to go to his website, check out the things that we're talking about here. We're talking about, of course, how does a human being bridge the gap and create heaven on earth? And we've talked about a number of aspects to this. Wake up spiritually. That's a huge one. And it's the first step. And when you, even if it is the first step for you, you've taken the first step. Now you don't have to go back and do that one again. You just have to maintain your awakeness, and you don't need any stimulants to do that. It's an exciting thing. Allow spirituality to grow in your heart and soul. Shift away from brain intelligence to heart-centered intelligence, which you've talked about on the program thus far. You've also talked about a mentor. Now that's a huge one for a lot of people, because for myself, and I have not searched for a mentor. It's not something that I've actively done. However, through these programs that I've done over the last 35 odd years, the books that I've read, the CDs and seminars I've listened to, the programs that I've been through physically, sat in a, put my butt in a chair and participated in, there's never been one person or one philosophy that stuck out and said, that's the one, got to follow that one, got to go in that direction. It's been an accumulation of these teachings, these wisdoms, if you will. I love to refer to them, Richard, as the ancient wisdom teachings, which encompasses everything. Whether you want to talk about the Akashic Records, you want to talk about the Vedas, you want to talk about the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, whatever ancient writings you want to talk about. The apocryphals, according to the Catholic Church, the apocryphal writings, it doesn't make any difference because all of them ring. They all have that ring of truth running through them, if you will, that thread, if you will. Some call it a golden or a silver thread, what have you. But that they're all saying basically – a matter of fact, I received some criticism, Richard, not long after I started this program back in 2007. A coworker of mine, he listened to my program over a few weeks, and he says, I don't know what you're doing. All your guests are saying the same thing, that we're all one, and it's all love, and it's all this, and da-da-da. It doesn't make any sense. And I thought – I said to him, I says, well, if they're all independent of one another, but you're hearing them saying all of the same thing, then maybe isn't there a point there?
Right. But see, there are new rules, and these rules are really, really wisdom-based rules. And I'm going to give your listeners a really great new rule.
Okay.
Is there's only small and big in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
So any of those human beings out there who are playing small, there's only one place you can go, and that's what I call supersize your life. So we really should be living a life where we supersize the life.
Yeah. I like
that. The universe doesn't know the difference between a dollar and $1 billion or $1 trillion.
Right.
I created the actual only life path that had ever existed in the world. It's called becoming a wellness heir.
Mm-hmm.
And every person that I've ever given the opportunity, would you choose being a billionaire or a trillionaire or a millionaire or a wellness heir, they've all chosen to become a wellness heir. Because the energy of a wellness heir is you get love, spirituality, wealth, peace, everything in balance and in abundance. And when you become a millionaire, you get 1 million units of some type of monetary denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with becoming a billionaire. So it's not a life path.
Right.
So becoming a millionaire does not ensure you of happiness.
No.
It doesn't even ensure you of wealth, because most people who win the lotteries, their wealth leaves them and they end up in more debt than prior to their receiving the wealth.
Yes.
And the reason being is because they didn't really have a life path.
Yeah.
See, the creation of wealth is to do things and make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to teach your listeners something they probably don't know. Intention has seven faces, F-A-C-E-S. So imagine if you lived in a house that had seven foundations. Be a pretty strong house, right?
It certainly would be.
Yeah. So the seven faces of intention, and they can be in any order: love, kindness, creativity, beauty, expansion, abundance, and peacefulness. So love, kindness, beauty, expansion, abundance, peacefulness, and creativity. So humans do not know secrets of this nature. So if you use these seven faces of intention in your mission statement and your personal life, it gives you the greater foundation to create whatever it is you need to create in your life. It was really interesting. I was at a Christmas dinner. And the person, it was a third world country, and the person was a well-educated philosopher at a university level. And he was very excited to speak with me. And he said to me, he said privately, do you have a lot of followers? The concept of being a guru, to me, it doesn't fit in the framework of the real world that we live in, is that if you have a great mentor who has great wisdom and has great divine connection and can move energy for you, it is beneficial. And so you take that wisdom and you move in your own vibrational level. And let me explain something to the listeners that they may or may not know. Is every human being who comes to the earth, you come with guides. Now, the greater the divine purpose, the greater the power of your guide. So you could have a guide who is an angel, or maybe an Indian guide, or maybe a relative from a past life, a grandma, a grandpa, a father, a mother, someone from a past life. So the humans that exist here on Earth, their lives are really being guided by their guides.
Mm-hmm.
But the real way to grow in the world in 2014 is to create this internal, external, vibrational energy. So let's show your listeners what energy really looks like at different levels. So an average person walking on the streets in Los Angeles is vibrating at maybe 80 to 110, okay, on a scale from 0 to 1,000.
Okay.
Okay. So let's look at someone you would know, the Dalai Lama.
Okay.
The Dalai Lama vibrates at 58,000.
Wow.
Okay. So a normal person is vibrating at 80 to 110. The Dalai Lama is vibrating at 58,000. Now, the Dalai Lama is not interested in creating Rolls Royces in his life, big houses, cars, and things of that nature. Could he? Yes. Okay. And so there's a vibrational scale that's in the tens of thousands. And when you're really, really connected, your energy should be growing every second, every minute. I vibrate at about, it ranges from 350 to 400,000 today. But it's going up every second, every minute. And what does that mean? It is that when you're vibrating at that level, that means the electromagnetic energy that you're giving off resonates with the every angel, every archangel, every ascended master in the ethereal plane. And so you're able to move that energy with these millions of angels. And there are millions and millions and millions of angels that exist in that plane. Mm. So collectively, see the difference? The collective energy can make things happen, and it can override. Like, I work on projects privately for reforestation to change weather patterns. And I'll give you a perfect example. My daughter, she lives in Boulder County. And in one 24-hour period, as you remember last year, they received 2,000 times more rain than they had ever seen in the history of the state of Colorado. 2,000 times. So my daughter calls me up, and she says, "Work your magic, Daddy." And so I stopped it raining. Because had it continued to rain, and you saw the helicopters came in, and much of Boulder County was underwater. Had the rain not stopped, it would have done a tremendous amount of damage. So that's what energy can do. Collective vibrational energy at a high level can change weather.
You know, it's interesting that people... this was at the time I was still working for the Christian station, but people laughed at Pat Robertson at this one point back in the 80s when there was a hurricane headed for the southern coast of the United States down in the Gulf. And they said they were going to pray to keep this hurricane from coming on shore and doing all kinds of damage. And it didn't. It didn't come on shore.
Yeah, and it's because of the prayer.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you said that. I think it was either 2 or 3 years ago there was to be a 9.2 earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So all the angels in heaven, archangels, ascended masters, all told me there was going to be a 9.2 earthquake in California.
Oh.
But in the state of California, you have a lot, you literally have millions of highly spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
And millions of people love the state of California. So collectively, they did the exact same thing. Because I was told by, you know, all the angels in heaven that what we can do as humans, by being really connected to Mother Nature, you can soften the blow of Mother Nature towards humanity. But in that case, in the case you told me about just now with Pat Robertson, that energy actually changed and prevented the earthquake from happening.
I think a lot of people dismissed it because they have that energy, that negative energy of the religious right and of the fundamentalists and that whole mindset that says they're a bunch of nutcases. And yet, all right, maybe on the surface there are certain things that come out over the media that aren't really for some, this doesn't really fit real well. But by the same token, there are certain things that are being said from the spiritual standpoint. Maybe they don't fully understand that what they're saying is absolutely true. I mean, they may say they believe it, but there's a certain element of their own personal understanding that they do it not really knowing. And I guess that kind of comes down to another area I wanted to talk about. Because you've mentioned all of these other external forces, and I say external from the standpoint of not so much outside of the physical body, the self, but other than self. Where does the personal intuition, still small voice, voice of God, whatever, higher self, whatever you want to call it, where does that come into play in all of this?
Well, as you know, you know Greg Braden's work in
yes.
The God Code.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I knew many, many years ago because I received it directly from the source that in every human being that has ever existed in this earth that we know, in the first layer of our DNA, they found letters, and they were in Aramaic, in Old Hebrew, and then there were words. And then there was one sentence, God within our body. So once a human being really acknowledges that it is within our DNA, and one of the things that's happening in the world today is 26,000 years ago, our DNA was actually crystalline DNA. So we were all light beings. And then there was an experiment. There was a test to see if mankind could create peace on Earth. And in order to do that, the DNA was changed to carbon DNA. So in a third-dimensional carbon DNA existence is you're born, you have some good times, you have some bad times, and then it always ends in death. So what's happening to every human being that exists here on Earth today, because we all have the DNA, the same spiritual DNA. No matter, even Hitler had that same spiritual DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But humans evolve at a variety of levels, and they do things. Now, what happened in December of 2012, there was an establishment of what's called inner school. So every soul that does not get rid of their life lessons, their karmic liabilities, their negative imprinted memory, when they die, they will go to inner school. And in the inner school, our purification process, their energy or their soul will be purified. So every soul that comes back into the future now, and believe it or not, you know about indigo children,
mm-hmm.
you know about rainbow children, mm-hmm. you know about crystal children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What you probably might not be aware of, but the universe within the last months created a new energy child that is being born just as you and I speak, and that's called a diamond child.
Ooh.
So in order for a civilization to grow, we're going to have a world where the souls are purified. See, these things that humans discuss, like greed, war, famine, the energy behind these words are the problem. The solution is creating a society where we feed the poor, where famine doesn't exist, where we don't rob, we don't steal, we're in integrity. So it's creating this society, and that's what the universe is doing in this purification process. My parents, grandparents, they're all in inner school now, and their souls are being purified. Do you have grandchildren?
I do not.
Okay. I have three grandchildren. And there's two boys and a girl. The youngest is 2 years old. And when you look at the children, you could see they're like little grandmas and grandpas in these childlike bodies. But they have such great, great wisdom. And that's because they have been purified. So the reason humans are suffering in the world, there are three purifications going on. We have an economic purification, we have Mother Nature purification, and then we have a soul's purification going on simultaneously. Hmm. And this never has happened in the history of mankind. And this is why people are struggling. And I'm going to tell you, listeners, something that's really phenomenal that very few people know in the world, is that when we were born in this earth, our soul was supposed to be brought to the base of Mother Earth and to the Tree of Life. So actually, soul and energy was to be put at the base of the Tree of Life. Had it been brought to the base of the Tree of Life, all you would have done is gone upward and grow. Just as the insects and the birds and the trees and the vegetables and everything continually grow, this is the way that we were supposed to grow.
Hmm.
But we weren't put there.
Right.
Because we were tested. This whole thing about life was this big test. But guess what? The test is ended. And you know, one thing that's unique about me is I know all the spiritual knowledge, but I'm very practical and I'm very logical.
Mm-hmm.
It's about living a life that's easy. It's about living a life that's fun. It's about living a life that's abundant in every way.
We thrive.
I live in a six-story mansion,
mm-hmm.
and everything is easy.
Mm.
And it's because I've realized my own divinity. I live in I am. I am love. I am peace. I am beauty. I am kindness. I am creativity. I am all these seven faces of intention.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it's these pieces of wisdom that humans do not know. Our lives are like a puzzle.
Yeah.
And so we put the puzzle together however we desire it to be. And you can create your own heaven on earth.
Yes.
But you have to have the proper information.
Yeah.
I'm launching a company this month called Divine Media Entertainment, and it's dedicated to the empowerment of humanity. So we're going to be producing television, movies, and special events that empower and move humanity.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what that looks like. See, law is moving to divine law. Parenting's moving to divine parenting. Medicine's moving to divine medicine. Mentoring is moving to divine mentoring. So this is the direction everything in the world is going to. It's going to a place of divinity. And the energy of divinity is different than the energy of just parenting.
Yeah.
See, it's a completely different energy, and mm-hmm. the results are unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that the test is over. I can put my pencil down and relax.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious as to, I'd like to get your observations on,
sure.
And I'll make this story brief. This is a story that I read. I thought it was a great story about someone who, and of course, the message was about abundance. These two individuals, they go out and they have a nice breakfast at a little restaurant, you know, maybe here in Santa Barbara at the shoreline, and they're enjoying themselves, and the bill comes, and the gentleman, he looks at the bill, and he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out enough for the bill, plus a 20% or so tip, gratuity, and they both go on their way, and later on, a couple days later, they get together for lunch, and they sit there, have a nice meal, and he gets the bill, and the bill comes, and he looks at the amount, and he pulls out of his pocket the amount that he needs for the bill, plus the nice gratuity and so forth. And a few days later, they go out to dinner, and exactly the same thing happens, only this time the second gentleman, who is just along with him and enjoying the meal and the company and the conversation, he says, you know, it's very interesting. You know, the last couple, three, four times that we've been out, you know, you've gotten the bill and you've pulled out of your pocket exactly the amount that you needed. And I'm like, how did you do that? He says, well, there was this genie that I found in a bottle and he gave me three wishes. And I thought about even the first wish for a long, long time, and I could have wished to be a millionaire. But even as you, Dr. Richard London, have said, you know, you go through that, and the lottery, the statistics about lottery winners is that if they haven't changed their mindset, they're right back where they were a year later as far as their winnings are concerned. So he says basically to him, he says, well, here's, I thought about it for a long, long time, and finally I came back to him, and I said, I wish that I have exactly the amount of money that I need when I need it for the things that I need. That is how he lived his life. And I thought, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong? You know, and so I'm sitting here going, struggling with the concept of, I really would like to have more zeros in my bank account. You know, obviously preceded by some other digits, preferably. And I think, well, what? How many other creatures on this planet, aside from Homo sapiens, want more zeros in their bank account? None. So tell me, how does this story, this concept play with you in what we've discussed here on the program?
Well, first of all, he created that existence for himself based on his agreement, and that was his personal heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. So we each have an opportunity based on our verbal agreements as well as written agreements to create the life that we desire.
Dr. Richard London's my guest, and drrichardlondon.com is the website. Find out more about, I think that it would be fascinating for you to check out the seven faces of intention, creativity, kindness, love, beauty, expansion, abundance, and peacefulness. And I'm grateful for the time that you have spent with us. And yes, I know our time is just about up. But
Richard,
yes, I know this was a fast hour.
It's been a pleasure sharing wisdom with you, and you are a great light, and you are a great role model, and we need as many role models as we can create on earth to really make the world a better place. So I applaud you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal. And we are clear.
Here's the flip side. We live in an abundant world. There's always enough food to provide for all the insects, all the animals that exist here on Earth. So why not make an agreement that you receive abundant, because you can use, I've used my abundance to help others.
Mm-hmm.
So if we all were abundant, then we could use the monies to help others. So why should anyone want to put a limit? Because it's not mental-based or ego-based. It comes from a heart-centered. So this person was heart-centered,
mm-hmm.
and that was wonderful. So what I would tell your listeners and I would tell you is you create the personal heaven on earth that you desire.
Dr. Richard London's my guest, and drrichardlondon.com is the website. Find out more about, I think that it would be fascinating for you to check out the seven faces of intention, creativity, kindness, love, beauty, expansion, abundance, and peacefulness. And I'm grateful for the time that you have spent with us. And yes, I know our time is just about up. But
Richard,
yes, I know this was a fast hour.
It's been a pleasure sharing wisdom with you, and you are a great light, and you are a great role model, and we need as many role models as we can create on earth to really make the world a better place. So I applaud you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal. And we are clear.
And you have to make these agreements based on your own perception. There is no right, there is no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if we live in an abundant world, why not create as much abundance as you can in this lifetime and share that abundance with others? And that's what I do. And I want to leave this, you know, this last statement, which coincides with it. I met a gentleman who was able, he received divine information how to produce fruits and vegetables at a phenomenal level. So he could produce a tomato that weighed 3 pounds or more, a watermelon that weighed 100 pounds.
Wow.
And so I asked him, I said, why didn't you share the Monsanto and all the biggest companies in the world wanted to buy his secrets, and he would not sell it. And I said, he lived in a third world country, and I said, why didn't you share it with the people in your country? So they could live abundantly with all the food necessary. He couldn't answer that question. So I think it came from a place, he was in a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it would
run
out.
What I'm saying is once you attain great wisdom, you must share it with other people because it doesn't belong to you. As much as I know, I share the secrets with everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did you come to connect with this wisdom over the years?
Because I'm layered. You know, we're all like an onion. So I came into this lifetime, I was told directly from the source that I was given every power that I've ever had in every lifetime, all in one person. Because, see, I see everything through the lives of, through the eyes of a four-year-old child. Nothing is ever that serious.
Yeah. Oh, I remember as a child thinking how cool it would be to be an adult. And I thought, boy, the adults are sure wound up a little too tight. And they get so worked up over all these little things. And here I am a kid and I don't carry ID with me or a phone or money or any of this stuff. I'm running around the neighborhood free and clear without all that stuff, having a great time. Why are the adults not having a great time? You know,
I was saying the same thing. See, I was brought into this life. At 4 years old, I knew what my parents and what every person, my teachers and everything was going to happen. I knew it ahead of time.
Mm. Yeah.
So I knew what my teachers were going to do, what my parents were going to do. And I never had one conflict with my parents whatsoever as a child. You know why?
Why?
Because I was told to always say yes. So when my parents asked me to do something, I said, yes, Mommy, yes, Daddy, walked out of the house, and I did as I pleased. I never created conflict. And I have a daughter, and my daughter used to say no, and I said, Nicole, why don't you say yes more, and then you won't create conflict? But she could never understand it.
When you say yes to someone, in this case, a child saying yes to a parent, in your instance, it wasn't, yes, I will do what you are telling me to do, as much as it is, yes, I will do it. And now it becomes yours.
Exactly. And so then I walked out of the house and I did exactly as I pleased. So I grew up different than other human beings because I was told not to tell anybody what powers I had because they would not believe it. They would think that I would end up isolating myself.
Yeah.
So I never told anybody until I was in the 30s. And people say, well, why didn't you use it to win in lotteries and things of that nature? I grew up in a family where my father was a gambler.
Mm.
So I made an agreement not to gamble. Now, I invest in people, I invest in businesses, I invest in my own life, but I don't gamble.
Yeah.
Yes. And so could I have won horse races and lotteries and things of that nature? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Have I won those things in the past just in fun? Yes. It was my birthday, and I was in a third world country, and I bought scratchers for the first time in that country, and I won 50,000 pesos.
Mm.
And even the person who sold me the scratchers, and I was only 2 feet away from them, they thought that there was something wrong with the ticket because they hadn't seen anyone win 50,000 pesos.
No points of reference.
Yeah, no point of reference is correct. So we live in an abundant world. Why not live abundantly? Why not live supersized? Because there's only small and big or supersized. That's what exists in the world. Medium doesn't exist in the world. And, you know, life is just so wonderful.
It is.
And if you know the secrets, yes, I stay in a state of knowing. So when I'm on radio and people ask me questions, I always know the answers. And you know what I was going to tell you? You've been on the show for 30-plus years and interviewed thousands of people. I was on another show with a guy. He had interviewed over 30,000 people in his lifetime. And he says to me privately after the show, he says, Doctor, you're the only person that I've ever had on my show that really knew the solutions.
Yeah.
And there are, and it's because I relate to everything in a very practical, logical manner. If you're going to make miracles, what are the steps to make a miracle? I know the steps to make a miracle. What are the steps to do this? There are steps. Does everyone in the world know these steps? No. Do some people, as an example, and I'm going to prove something to you.
Okay.
The law of attraction is one natural law. There are actually 10 natural laws, 9 others equally as powerful, but people do not teach them because they want you to buy 9 other books. That's absurd to me.
Hear, hear.
I teach them.
Yeah.
One of the words, and I'm going to share with your listeners, gratitude.
Yes.
Staying in a state of gratitude is a natural law.
Yes.
But how many people in the world know of it, but they don't implement it in their life? I'm in gratitude 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm in gratitude right now just speaking with somebody like you. You're phenomenal, Richard. You have a wealth of wisdom in one person. Yes. And you're open. The big thing in life is open. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and I have to be honest with you, that has taken a lot of work over the years because I was quite stuck in my own self-importance as far as what I knew. And boy, I had to not just share it with others, but I had to try to find a way to indoctrinate others. You know, you've got to believe what I'm. Matter of fact, a best way to put this, I went to my parents. I was, I think, 25, 26, and I went to my parents' house because I wanted to share with them what I had. What I had gleaned from an experience that I'd had. And my mother says, you can share it only if you don't try to proselytize. Sometimes that's a hard lesson because we get so excited about what we've learned and we want to share it. And yeah, you do have to have, I guess the word is tact in sharing this because some people, A, they may not be ready for it. B, they may not be open. They may be in their own stories.
See, I went to school for 41 years straight. I have 3 PhDs and a medical degree. And I was told as a little boy, you must become very well educated so people will listen to you. So people do listen to me because of my education. But the real abilities I have, it's this wisdom that I was divinely gifted with, and the ability to really be a futurist, I can actually see into the future. I knew all the people who are going to win the Academy Awards. Yeah.
Wow.
I know what's going to happen every minute of my life. I don't go to certain places because I don't live in that particular space. But in the practical, logical world, if when I graduated from medical school, I realized my parents wanted me to be a doctor, and I really wanted to understand mankind.
Yeah.
So I looked in the future, and I saw all this technology being built, and then I developed companies where we developed, I provided the brains that developed all the technology that humans live in their lives today, cell phones, you name it.
Yeah.
So it took brains, and I provided the brains, not me personally.
Sure.
But I recruited these people, so I own consulting and staffing companies. So in the world we live in the 21st century, your future is in paper. So why not design your future versus just living a fatalistic life? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a valuable lesson for all of us to learn. I often think when I start hearing stories and I'm trying to listen less and less to them, especially of our lawmakers, when they make a law, people think that this law has been put into – it's in concrete. It's not. I mean, in a literal, very practical sense, these laws are on paper and they can be changed. And if you know, and that kind of thing. And in this instance with our future, we are where we are because of the choices that we have made in the past. Where do you want to be in the future? It's on paper. You can make it anything that you want. And if you're not real happy with where you are today, you need to make new choices today so that you're somewhere else tomorrow.
Absolutely. You know, we want to live a life where we create great memories.
Yes.
Yes, it's all about the memories we create. You know, when a person says to someone, I'm going to love you forever,
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you, 99%, almost 100% of the people, that it's just a beautiful words and a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
There is a way to really, really love someone forever, but very few people in the whole wide world know how to do it.
Yeah.
So there are wisdoms that are given to people. We have 7 billion people in the world, and people have different powers.
Yes.
I know of a particular person. I never met him personally. He makes between $3 and $5 million a day in the stock market, and he's been doing it for 50 years.
Huh.
And he donates the majority of the monies to charity. He developed a system based on energy and movement 50 years ago. So there are people like this in the world,
yeah,
who have these talents and have these abilities, but they're not commonplace in the world. Most people don't know about them. So because they don't know about them, they don't think that it really exists.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people in the world who have special skills.
Yeah. I tell you, as far as specifically money, because abundance can cover a lot of ground, you know, both my wife and I, we've said, boy, I tell you what, if that kind of an event happened in our lives where we just had an overflow of money in our bank account, the sharing would begin. I mean, there are specific organizations, yes, but then again, there are also individuals that we would come across, and we have. I mean, I had a best friend who called me a couple of years ago. He lives back in Phoenix, and he'd lost everything. And he was living out of his car, and he was calling me, and I knew that he was calling me for some practical, physical, financial help that I just was not able to give, but I was able to give him at least moral support and saying, hey, I'm here for you, even if I can't help you directly, you know, and trying to give him some guidance. Hey, you've made friends there in Phoenix. You've lived there all your life. And I know there has to be somebody. And as a matter of fact, he called me back a few months later and said that he had moved in with a good friend of his who was going to let him stay there until he got himself back on his feet. So, you know, there's more than money, obviously, that you can use.
Well, you stayed in your integrity, and that's a great thing to do. You know, when I sold my big company, I donated all the monies from the company to 14 world charities that heal and educate children.
Yeah.
And everyone said, well, why did you donate all the monies? Why didn't you save some of the monies for yourself? And I said, by doing so, I have trust and faith that the universe will just create whatever it is that I did. And it duplicated more than enough. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a story, a movie actually that comes to mind, Brewster's Millions, is going back a number of years with Richard Pryor.
Yeah, I remember the movie.
You remember,
right,
the movie. And there was, yeah, a situation during the movie where he's trying to get rid of $30 million in 30 days. And all of a sudden somebody has done something and they've invested it. It's no. And he had more money than he knew what to. It was like it just kept coming in.
Yeah.
But we're talking also here about the flow and maintaining the flow. We hear the stories of the hoarders who are, whether it's physical things in their homes or even in their bank accounts, and they just hold on to it. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's your choice. But what are your perspectives on, as a matter of fact, as of our conversation here, the report has come out about the top billionaires in the world. And as a matter of fact, there are several thousand more billionaires on the planet than there were a year ago. And Bill Gates is back at the top of the list.
Well, you know, it is absolutely necessary. Once you see, we have doors.
Mm-hmm.
We have a variety of life doors: wealth door, love door, peace door,
yeah,
spirituality doors. And our fears as human beings close these doors. So if you can keep the doors open, the flow comes. Yeah, we live in a world where people wanted to be millionaires, now they want to be billionaires, now they want to have a trillionaire. I mean, I have clients of mine that I've worked with for over 30 years, and they're trillionaires now.
Wow.
But they give, yeah, the majority, yeah, of their monies to charity. They're at a point in their life where, you know, they don't need monetary abundance. So they just give their money away.
Yeah.
But they do everything in a wise manner.
Right, right. It's not frivolous. Yeah. It's not thoughtlessness in
it's
that
respect.
It's
not frivolous, and it's not, yeah, thoughtless. So can a person go from zero to becoming a trillionaire? You could, you know, there are companies now that become billion-dollar companies in a matter of months now.
Yeah.
So it used to take 100 years or more to build a big, giant company that's hundreds of millions of dollars. Now you can build a billion-dollar company in a matter of 6, 9, 12 months.
Yeah.
And the reason being is the flow is bigger. We live in a world where if you can keep your life doors open, the flow is just going to allow this abundance to come to you.
Be open.
It has all my life. I got a formal job at 8 years old and worked a regular job after school until midnight from 8 years old to 13, and I created a tremendous amount of abundance. I made more than the combined incomes of my parents.
Wow.
At 8 years old.
Before we run out of time and you have to go, I have three final questions to ask you.
Sure.
Who is Richard London?
Richard London is a person here on Earth who made an agreement to see that people become everything that they can be in this particular lifetime. My own daughter is 30 years old and she has no debt. Her mansion is paid off, her cars are paid off, she has no debt whatsoever. So my agreement was to use every wisdom that I've ever had in every lifetime so I can transform people to become everything that they can be in this particular lifetime. Yes.
And I will ask this question, though you've answered it probably numerous times throughout the hour plus that we've been talking. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
The work that I'm doing now is to, like Divine Media Entertainment, the purpose of it is really the essence of who I am, is the way, the secret weapon in the world is in any country that exists in the world, any third world country, is to create great role models. So my real mission in lifetime through Divine Media Entertainment and all the things that I do is to create great role models. And in doing so, you really change the world. You could go to any third world country and create 10 great role models, then 100, then 1,000, and the country changes. No politics, nothing. So the real essence of life is creating your great role model, Richard. And we need great role models in the world. So humans out there who can transform people into great role models, that's really, really where we need to be. Yes.
And
that's the secret weapon. No politics, nothing to do with abundance or anything. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, real basic.
Absolutely. How powerful are we as human beings?
Wow. You know, I can change weather. I can go into a store and something doesn't exist in the store. They don't have it, and I can create it. That's how powerful.
Mm.
I've gone to TJ Maxx in those stores with my daughter. She saw something she wanted, and they didn't have her size, and they looked in the computer, and they said, we don't have it, and then I just create it. That's how powerful we are.
It shows up on the rack.
Yeah, it shows up on the rack someplace.
Amazing.
And they don't even want to look. So, but can a person create gold in front of them or a Rolls Royce, a house, an elephant? No, because if you were able to do it in the world, in this third dimensional world that we live in, there would be a big problem.
Yes, yes.
Because you would throw the whole world out of balance.
Yeah, yeah.
So is everything possible? Yes, within the scope of the world we live in.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise, people's lives would be in great jeopardy. But can I go out in the day and create miracles with my wife on a daily basis? Yes. And do I? Yes. The first time my wife saw me change weather, she didn't believe it. She came, you know, from a third world country, and her eyes got real big. Mm. But she saw the weather change, and then she believed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So can a person make real? Yes, that's what I do. I make real.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Dr. Richard London's my guest, and drrichardlondon.com is the website. Find out more about, I think that it would be fascinating for you to check out the seven faces of intention, creativity, kindness, love, beauty, expansion, abundance, and peacefulness. And I'm grateful for the time that you have spent with us. And yes, I know our time is just about up. But
Richard,
yes, I know this was a fast hour.
It's been a pleasure sharing wisdom with you. And you are a great light and you are a great role model. And we need as many role models as we can create on Earth to really make the world a better place. So I applaud you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to all.